Hi everybody. grateful to be here. I've been in OA 1 year this week. Abstinent 1 year this week, if that means anything to anyone. But I came in July of 2021. But I'll just go back a bit, to my childhood. So I was like born in London and my parents are from the Caribbean, from Trinidad. So when it comes to food, in Trinidad, the food is quite mixed, like Chinese and Indian. So I grew up with a mix of Chinese, Indian, West Indian style, and everything with rice. I was the only child. Both my parents worked. So there's always food in the house. And I always grew up with like a lot of, like, you know, at Christmas and Easter, all that stuff and chocolates and everything, and had quite a sweet tooth. And then my mother's an alcoholic and codependent and a hoarder, and my dad, I don't think he was an alcoholic, but more a little tiny bit of gambling and the ladies. I don't want to declare him like an out and out sex addict or something like that, but that, as an only child, that's what I grew up with. And my parents had me very late, and I guess they were both workaholics as well. So eating, because my mother was a hoarder, and this is really key, she used to hoard cakes and biscuits. Now, I never knew if she was buying the cakes and biscuits to pass on to people who were less fortunate. Maybe she got a good deal. So I'll never know, but they were there under the stairs and I used to go for them, and I knew I was doing something wrong, but I just did it. You know, I would open the packet and maybe eat one and then turn the packet around to make it look like it hadn't been eaten, things like that. And I have a very, very clear memory of, and I don't know how old I was, I could have been 3 or 4, where my mother had got a tin of biscuits with a handle. And I remember the tin vividly, and it was like a double layer of biscuits, and she had hidden it behind the sofa, and then was absolutely horrified and shocked to find out that it had been opened, and it could only have been opened by me. There's no one else living in the house. So that's that memory. I think my mum had issues with body image and size. So I'm like 5'6", that's 1.67 meters, and my mum's comes up a bit smaller than me, and I don't know her height, but also her frame was very small. And so she always told me, she was like a mantra, you know, you're big, you're big, you're big. But when I look back at photographs of me as a child, say like 7, 8, there was no way on this earth that you could call me obese. There's just no way. So I think my mum just had issues with the way a girl's body changes as you get older. You know, you get taller or what have you. And I remember once saying to my mum, shall we go on a diet? Because there was a dieting campaign, a company called Coronation. And they had some slimming products called Slender. And I had seen this on TV. And I don't know how old I was, maybe 10, 11. I don't know. I don't remember. But I remember vividly saying to my mum in the hall, like, shall we do this together? And she went absolutely mental, like completely screwed. I was just in shock. I can't even tell you what she said. But having that memory makes me realize that she must have had a lot of body image issues. I also danced as a child, and I danced in early out. So I did a lot of ballet. I don't think that helps with body image at all, dancing and that whole world. So in my, I'm not quite sure how old I was when I started, but somewhere like 16, 17, I started with the slimming tablets, Tenuate Dospan and laxatives. And I can remember being something like 10 stone. So that's 140 pounds. So as I was in my late teens, my mother was 9.5 maybe at the lightest. And then because of binging would be 10, 10 and a half. And so I would be fluctuating, what have you. Always did a lot of exercise, cycling, swimming, dancing, very active. Then when I was 21, that was my first pregnancy. So I went from 10 stone, which is, I think, 140 pounds, right? I don't know what that is in kilos, to 15 stone. And 15 stone, someone can work that out for the Americans. I can't, it's too much for me. I can do 10 stone. I know 10 stone is 140, but 15 stone, I don't know. But that, I know that's 35 kilos. And that's a lot of weight to increase in a pregnancy, right? Anyway, had the baby, lost the weight, diet and exercise, pregnant again, same thing, diet and exercise. And then you I just see this pattern of just increasing weight, wanting to lose, do it, you know, doing different things. We've all been there. But always lots of exercise, cycling, swimming and walking. But I stopped I never went back to laxatives and slimming tablets. I think they must have stopped, you know, up until that first pregnancy. I never went back. Okay, so that was the pregnancies. Then in 2005, so sort of jumping forward a bit, my drug of choice primarily was biscuits, what you call cookies in America. And one day I was on the sofa, had these two packets of biscuits, cookies, and ate them and put myself in a food coma. People talk about food comas quite a lot now, but at the time I didn't know what it was. But I knew I felt really strange and it really freaked me out. And I just couldn't move. It was just horrible. And I thought, right, I really have a problem. I need to go to the hospital. So I went to the Royal Free and I was diagnosed with binging eating disorder. And there was a special course with a special, I can't remember what it's called, kind of therapy thing. And they were trying to, their objective was to teach us that we can eat normally 6 times a day and lose weight. We don't need to. And they gave us lots of techniques and everything. So I stopped weighing myself and being manic about weighing. Still lots of exercise, walking, had a dog. 2008, go to my first 12-step meeting, not OA. And so I have a lot of experience in different 12-step fellowships. And I had actually in 2005, when I was at the Royal Free, I saw a sign for OA. And I remember saying to the doctor or the psychologist, oh, what do you think? You know, and he says, yeah, I think it could be helpful. I never went, I never phoned. But in 2008, I won't mention the fellowships that I've been in, because my sponsor tells me that it can be confusing for people, especially newcomers, if you come onto an OA meeting to hear about different fellowships. But if you want to know, I'm happy to share that information with you. You can always write to me or WhatsApp me. So then I had many years in all these different fellowships. So let's jump forward and working the steps, the big book way, working the steps for all these other fellowships. And then in 2017, I went into an umbrella fellowship, which is like for all problems and behaviors. And there I really, really learned about prayer, meditation and the daily quiet time and the pioneers and the big book. They use the first group conscience approved version of the big book, and it's just reading it over and over and over and over again. But it really just, I loved it. I just love it. I love that whole period. I love the big book. We were also encouraged to read around the big book, what the pioneers read. And it really helped me, and also really helped me with the quiet time. Prayer and the meditation, I really, really took a lot from that. But the one thing, and I got a lot of recovery in other areas, but the one thing it didn't help me with was the food. So I had a friend in that fellowship, and I think I'm coming up to 10 minutes in 3 seconds. I had a friend in that fellowship, and we used to get together and just go, oh, you know, I really like this fellowship, but what about the food? What about the food? And this went on for about a year and a half. Thank you. Every so often we'd get together and talk, say, and what about the food? And she had been in a section of OA, and I had had a bad experience with OA. I used to live in Israel, and I had thought, right, need to embrace this OA business. Went on a phone meeting, and after the meeting, the woman said to me, no sugar, no flour, get a food plan, and kind of hung up, or, you know. And I was just kind of left there with no sugar, no flour, get a food plan. What the hell's a food plan? And how do people survive on the planet without eating flour and sugar? If you've been to Israel and you've seen their bakeries, like, I don't know how it's possible. I know it sounds stupid, but I really didn't. And so that was my negative experience of OA. And I thought, well, there's no point in me going there, because I was told no sugar, no flour, get a food plan. And I don't know how to do any of those things. But then in last year, 2021, me and this girlfriend, with our usual call, oh, what are we going to do about the food, the food? And I got a text message. And the text message said, do you attend OA meetings? And when I saw that message, I knew that was God speaking through that person that made them. And that was a Tuesday or a Wednesday at the beginning of July last year. And by the Friday, I was on a meeting. And that meeting that I went to, which just happened to be, and it comes out of Israel, they were talking a lot about two-way prayer. So I come into OA and immediately hear about two-way prayer. So in the beginning, I went to a lot of two-way prayer meetings, even the one that comes on before this meeting. And because of my past experience in the 12-step program, I knew that it was very, very important for me to get a sponsor. I didn't care what they looked like. I just didn't care. I just knew that I had to get someone with experience, with sobriety, just had to do it. So it wasn't about friendship or anything like that. Just get on with it. So I did. I found a sponsor. But, you know, like, God works in amazing ways. My sponsor has a sense of humor. So knowledgeable. She has a sponsor. Her sponsor has a sponsor. And she doesn't take herself too seriously as well, you know. So that was really good. And she really helped me. And I worked the steps in OA through the big book. Sorry about background noise. I just shut this window. Through the big book. And it was really interesting for me, because I had come from a program where I was reading nothing but the big book. And then we came to the doctor's opinion, and Dr. Silkworth was saying that we have a mental obsession and a physical craving, an allergy. We have this allergy. And that just oh my gosh. And I was just surprised, like, how could I be reading this book for years and not have seen that? But also what my sponsor explained to me is, as a compulsive overeater, I need to be with other compulsive overeaters, because the identification. And so I worked through the steps with my sponsor. I got a food plan, sorry. That was also the first thing. I remember I came on and I used to be asking people, what's the food plan? What's the food plan? And then I just found something here in my notes. I was just looking back that a food plan is something that I decide with my higher power and then hand over to my sponsor. But I also know that people go to dietitians and nutritionists, and at the time when I came into OA, I was living in Norway, and I did go and see the doctor, and I explained to him about being diagnosed with a food disorder and blah 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 blah. And I left Norway in April and I still didn't have my appointment for a dietitian. So now I'm living in Denmark. I will do that. But I used someone kindly sent me the pamphlets. Where do I begin? I think it's changed now. That was amazing. Someone in the fellowship who I've never, ever seen again sent it to me so that I could have the hard copy, even though you can get it on Kindle and you can download from the internet. And that was just very helpful. And I must tell you also, in the beginning, thank you. In the beginning, I didn't want to, the one thing that I forgot to say, which is very important. I was working for the last 11 years as a caregiver before I came into OA. And I think that there's a connection there between that work and my compulsive overeating. But in the beginning, I didn't want to recognize it. And it's like complicated. It's to do with feelings, not understanding what feelings are and how I'm feeling. But I was at a meeting once and I heard a woman say something about feeling her feelings. And I thought, what the hell is she talking about? And she came every week and shared the same thing about the feelings. And I can remember being at work in a house with a family who were very, very generous, and it was kind of like, eat whatever you want, da, 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 da. And I had prepared, nice, healthy things for myself to eat, but then all of a sudden I'd find myself in the food, in the sugar, in the nuts, whatever it is, I'll push anything into my mouth, you know? And that really shocked me because it's like, hang on, aren't I a care? Because it's about identity. Aren't I a caring person? How can I not like being in this job? I'm a caring person. I like people. I do this really well. Actually, I don't do caregiving anymore since the end of the first lockdown in the UK. And I had gone back to the UK to work for a short while. But that was a sort of like really key moment for me to see that there's something wrong here with the work and the food. And my weight increased to 240 pounds. I was getting bigger and bigger. In this big book, they tell us that it's a progressive disease. I've been hearing that for years in all sorts of fellowships. But it's not until I got to OA that I really realized it is a progressive disease, because when I started my story, what was I, 140 pounds? Yeah. And when I, last year, March, before I came into OA, I was 240 pounds, 0.3 pounds. And how did I know that? I would see a reflection of myself and I was just like, oh my God, I'm getting bigger. And my husband would say to me, well, how much do you weigh? And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, buy a scale. So it took me a few months to do that. And when I did it, I got the shock of my life because I'd not been that heavy. So I thought, okay, what I'll do is I'll just cut down. I'll eat everything, but I'll just cut down, because I didn't want to restrict, because I thought it would just trigger my craziness. And when I came into OA, I gave my sponsor a really hard time. And I was telling her, I mean, she's heard everything. She's been around like 33 years. I said to her, listen, I don't need your food plan. I'll just do what I'm doing because it works. But of course, I got a food plan. And I've got so much from being in OA, so much. At the beginning, when I came in, I was weighing myself every week. Then I went to every month, and now I've gone to every quarter. And now, do you know what? I don't care. The next time I'm going to be weighed is when I go to the doctor, and that's what it will be. And what I've come to understand, and we hear these mantras over and over again, you know, focus on the program and you'll lose the weight. If you focus on the losing the weight. Da, da, da. So that's what I'm doing. So what happened was, I'll just give you some numbers because people like numbers. So I told you last March I weighed 240 pounds, and then this March I went down to 212 pounds, which is 96.5 kilos. So it's not a huge amount of weight compared to how I used to do it back in the day. But this is not a diet club. So the most important thing about me being in OA is that I'm not on these crazy food binges. I can have three meals a day. If I do a lot of intensive exercise, sometimes I need a snack. I'm very honest. I write down my food. I photograph it. I send it to my sponsor. Not that she asks, but I just prefer to do that for myself. And I don't know really what else to say because I've run out of time. But I've got nowhere to go. Absolutely nowhere to go. I just go to meetings, whether it's this, Big Book, whatever. Sometimes I find myself on a meeting in New Zealand. I have a few sponsees. People come, people go. It's fine. The most amazing thing is that I've put down the food. And if you had said that 18 months ago, you know, last year, January, I would never have believed it. I would never have believed that I would have been in OA because that was the silly discussion me and my friend used to have. No, oh, where are we going to go? What are we going to do about the food? Da, 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 da. So this is where I am. And I have to stay here because I know from my experience that it really is a progressive disease. And I'm 58 years old. If I live till I'm 68, I don't want to be sitting here going, oh, I'm 68 and I'm 20 stone. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, and how did I get there? So I just have to stay here and stick to the program and that's it. So thanks.